And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. Tonight, well, we've got a French wine tonight, and it's a French blend. You know, I haven't done any blends for like this for a little while. I've done other blends, but this one's going back to the three grape blend that I've become accustomed to drinking at certain times, and particularly with French wine. So we're going to try one tonight and see how it is. I've heard good things about it, but a few things I've heard, and something a little interesting, something a little odd about the wine that I have been searching for, this particular wine tonight, not showing up on the website where I purchased it from. A little interesting there. But we'll get into that as we go along into the show. If you're joining me here for the first time or for the 180th time, this is the 180th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Wow. we've been doing this for a little while, haven't we? But if you're joining us tonight live, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show, first of all. Okay? This is not a really, really structured show. There's a little bit of structure. I have an outline here. I have my show notes, and they're right here. I've got them with me. But I don't really follow them verbatim because this show is not about me. It's somewhat about the wine, but the show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, having a great time with our favorite libations, no matter what they are. You don't have to drink wine. You don't have to drink, you know, what I'm drinking. You can drink whatever you want, as long as you're legal to drink it. You can drink water. It's fine. And with your favorite snacks, because I have snacks here to go with the wine. We're going to be pairing it with a little bit of food tonight. So don't be embarrassed to eat and drink while you're watching. Eat and drink with me. Let's eat and drink and be merry as we drink along with Rick. Now, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. We keep those off topic because really what we want to do is we want to talk about things that bring people together. So you drive the show because this is our show. It's not just mine. This is our show, yours and mine. So get in the chats and talk with me and tell me what you want to talk about or ask me questions, whatever. You know, that let's talk about things and just have a good time. That's what this show is all about, bringing people together. Now, you can watch live. Let me see if I've got this up. Yes, I do. You can watch live on the Facebook page. The Facebook page is Drink with Rick. And you can chat there. There's a live chat going on. We also have a live chat going on the YouTube channel where you can watch live. YouTube, you can just type in Drink with Rick and you'll find it. It'll pull up. By the way, I have some interesting news about that. That's going to change here in a little bit. As soon as YouTube hasn't implemented. I don't know when. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I'll talk about that a little bit more if someone reminds me. The Twitch channel. Twitch channel is Drink with Rick number one. Drink with Rick and the number one. Just Drink with Rick one. All one word. And just go to twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1 and you'll find it. And there's a live chat going there on Twitch. Also on Twitter, you can tweet me live. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. And on Odyssey, Odyssey is Drink with Rick @7. You can find the Drink with Rick on Odyssey as well. The episode for tonight, also, if you want to type in the actual URL, is momentum-solare. Just type in Drink with Rick. It's easier that way. Also, the podcast. If you can't watch now, can't watch later, can't get into the chats, you can also listen live. Well, not live. What am I saying? By the way, you can watch live on the website too, at drinkwithrick.com. There's no live chat going there, but if you click on the post for this episode that's going on right now, you can get a comment box up and you type in your comments and I will respond in kind when I get to them. It won't be right away, but I will respond and I'll read them on the next episode. Okay, getting back to the podcast. The podcast goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay, 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights. You don't have to be there at 10 p.m. to listen. It's listen on demand, just like all podcasts are. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org, and by email. If you go to drinkwithrick.com, click on the subscribe page. If you click on that blue button, the blue button that says by email, put in your email address, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. It's just for the podcast. Of course, you can unsubscribe at any time, but please don't. Please don't. You know, you can like and subscribe and all that kind of stuff on all these venues. It's not, you know, it's at your discretion. I'm not going to beg for them. Be nice, but I'm not going to beg for them, okay? If you like it, you'll like it. So anyway, that's what we got going on there. And you can jump in the chats. Let's check the chats, as a matter of fact, before we go any further and see what's going on in the chats tonight. We have, let's see, I just pulled that down. Okay, I don't think I have anything going on right there. Let me, do I see the chats? Yes, I do. Okay, let me type in a little greeting. Whoops, that's not the greeting I wanted to type in. Let's try that again. I'm going to type a little greeting in the chat. And there we go. Friendly little greeting. And that's what I... There we go. I'm going to copy that so I can paste it everywhere else, too. How about that? Okay, that was on Facebook, by the way. Facebook seems to be operating tonight. And it looks like we're... Ah, and Kane Cardova's in the chat. Kane is in the chat on YouTube, and Kane, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here, and he's got his wine ready. He's got his wine emoji ready, and I'm about to open up this wine, but I'm glad you're here. By the way, I didn't go through the itinerary for tonight's show. Let me check the other chats real quick just to make sure I'm not missing anything, and then we'll go into the itinerary for the show tonight, and it should be a really good one. As promised, I have a film to show you. And let's see, I got it up every. Okay, good, it's everywhere. And tonight's show itinerary, we're going to open, pour, taste, and review this fine wine that I have here. I'm going to show you in just a moment. We're going to pair it with some food, do some national days, and that, we're going to toast some national days together. So I hope you all have your drinks and your glasses ready to do some toasting. Also, a little TV trivia crossword puzzles. I've got a couple of books here. I gave one away to Ed last week. And I could give another one away tonight. We'll see. We'll see. Also, I want to talk about another book I've been reading here just briefly, and I'm going to have that ready for a book review. And, of course, we're going to show The Fan. Tonight, we're going to show this comedy horror short film that we all made 40-some-odd years ago. I made it with my buddies then. It's called The Fan, and it should be fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And that's what we have going on. Of course, whatever else you want to talk about in the chats tonight. So, and Kane says hi, and right back at you, Kane. I'm glad you're here once again. Let's see, what else do we have? New messages here? Okay, good. We're caught up for the moment. So let's go ahead and take a look at the wine. This is what we've got tonight. This is what we're drinking. This is called Momentum Solare. This is a French wine. It's a 2020 French wine. And I'm going to go ahead and read the back of this label here, the back label. Let's just get right into it, okay? And pardon my French because it's pretty bad. Momentum Solare, this is 34% Grenache Noir, 33% Syrah, and 33% Mourvèdre. Mourvèdre. It's actually pronounced Mourvèdre. That's a... Or Mourvèdre. That's how they pronounce it in France. I know, because I looked it up. It says, this tri-blend, unfortunately, this part's in English. This tri-blend is the result of a very old winemaking method, which consists in pulling out the best of each grape variety to create a combination of fruity and spicy aromas, which will be ripe and full-bodied on the palate. The result is jammy, smooth, and amazing with grilled meats, marinated vegetables, ... just sort of trails off. Okay. It's bottled by Le Producteur Rennes in France. This is in France, imported by Artesian Enterprises in Greensboro, North Carolina. And there is 13% ABV. It's alcohol by volume in this 750 milliliter bottle of wine. That's what we've got going on tonight. So that's the wine. I can hardly wait to try it out. And to go with the wine, to pair it with, we have this lovely array of foods prepared by my lovely wife, Chi. She has, let's see, what do we have here? We have that's a pizza from Pizza Hut. And there's a burger from another restaurant here. That's Bad Daddy. That's a Bad Daddy burger. Bad Daddy's Burgers Bar. Burger Bar. Whatever. The leftovers, folks. And then we have the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, some cheddar cheese from Cracker Barrel. And then there's this new cheese. And I hope my wife is listening in the chat because, to be honest, I think that is a... I forgot what it is. It's got orange or something in it, and hopefully she's in the chat and she can remind me what it is because I totally forgot. Camembert, I think, is what she said it was. Did you say it was camembert? No, it doesn't look like camembert. It's not a camembert. I don't know. Remember what it is. We'll try it, taste it. Okay, so anyway, that's what we have going on. Now, let me check the chats one more time before we get into the opening of the bottle. And kind of quiet at the moment. Everybody, it tends to wander in after the first 20 minutes. So that's what... maybe I should start 20 minutes early. See, here's the thing. It's like going to a party. You know, if you put on a party and then you tell people to be there at 1 p.m. for the party or, you know, whatever time it is. Let's say 7 o'clock in the evening. And so people start wandering about 8. You know, you say 7, they all come in about 8. That's what they call fashionably late, I guess you could say. But this show's only an hour and a half, so that's fashionably late's kind of late. All right, so let's get to opening this bottle of wine. I have my foil cutter right here. This is a French wine, once again, and from France. And being a French wine, it should go pretty well with a lot of rich French food, but I don't have any rich French food here. I don't have any rich French friends. just not, you know, I'm not that... up in society. Okay, but I have this mechanical corkscrew, or what I call my decorker. And I'm going to decork the wine. It's not uncork. And Drink with Rick Land, it's not uncork, it's decork. Yeah, that's stupid, but that's how I roll. Okay, let me grab my aerator, my trusty aerator. We'll get that in there, and hopefully there's not much displacement there. Okay, looks like it's in there nice and firm. And then, to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass from Ireland, given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. And I'm going to pour a little bit of wine into this glass and give it a little bit of a swirl. Let me put it on my official Drink with Rick coaster so I don't spill anything. Swirl it around so it's a little quieter on the swirl. There we go. There we are. And there we go. I'm getting better at this, I think. After 180 episodes, it should be, right? I hope so. All right, so we're going to set that just aside for just a moment. Let it open up a little and breathe. And while it's doing so, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, what I did was I looked around online. This is how it happened that I purchased this. I was looking for a new wine to try, and I happened to wander into a wine store. You know, one of my favorite wine places to go to. I haven't been in there for a little while. But because I've been hanging out Trader Joe's a lot because budget wise, and Trader Joe's keeps popping up these new wines on the floor to try that I know everyone can get to. The thing about Wine Store is it's a really, really cool place. I really like it. The only thing about it is that they're here in North Carolina, and they're not really, at least not yet, around the rest of the country. So those of you who are watching around the rest of the country and around the world, you may not have access to these wines that are in Wine Store because of them. They're kind of handpicked, and they put them in the store. They really choose them carefully and just pop them in there. And they're not always available everywhere. Some of the wines are, I wouldn't say they're exclusive, but they're hard to find anywhere else. Some of them are, at least around these parts. So I love Wine Store, but sometimes I like to go to some of the other places that a lot of other people, you know, around the country and around the world can actually get to, you know, where they can more easily find the wines to try them themselves. That's what I'm doing here. So I kind of mix it up a little bit. Now, I went into Wine Store beginning of the month, I think, and that was one of the wines they had there. I said, this is a new wine to try. So I said, okay, I'll try it and review it on the show. And I've been holding it back for a few weeks, but I'm going to do it tonight. And interestingly enough, when I went to their website to look up some information on the wine, it was listed in Google. When I typed up Momentum Solare, it came up in the search results on the first page of Google. I think it was the third or fourth placement there and on page one in the search results. And when I clicked on it, it was gone. Whoops, error. I got an error that the page wasn't there. And I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. So I looked up Google Cache. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but, you know, if there's a link that Google has or a listing that Google has and the link comes up dead, then there's a little thing on the side next to the listing on the Google page that you can click on, and you can click on cache because Google caches the pages, and the cached page of this page came up, and that's what it did here. So I actually have the cached page for this Momentum Solare. I don't know when they took it down, when Wine Store took it down or whatever, but I do have the cached version for the moment, and that's what I have here. And according to Wine Store, their website, they're saying Grenache is juicy and full, Syrah is mouth-filling and peppery, and the two of them, more often than not, need the indescribable weirdness of Mourvèdre to complete the picture. And they have it listed for $9.99 for the net price, and that's pretty much all they've got here. It's 2020 from France. It's not a whole lot of information. So what I did was I went around, found out a couple other places, kind of hard to find. Wine Searcher had it listed, 2020 Momentum Solare Selections. $8 a bottle was the average. That was the most recent global average price. But interestingly enough, they had an error that said currently no prices for the USA. So all the prices here are for the EU. So if you're in the EU, this might be helpful to you. Interestingly enough, The locations are all in the EU, but the prices are in US dollars. I would have thought they would have been euros, but they're not. They're in US dollars. So what I have here is the Vinotinto Delicatessen in Germany. That's in North Rhine-Westphalia. That is $8.72, including 19% sales tax. Wow. And that's one reason why I don't live in the EU right now. Well, I'm not a citizen in the EU anyway, but 19% sales tax. Wow, that's pretty hefty. Vinotopia, that's in Germany, in Baden-Württemberg. It's $8.82. It's starting to go up from there. Finhaus.de, that's in Hessen, Germany, $8.87. Looks like these are all in Germany. Winehouse Lengerich in Germany, $9.87. Genus 7.de GmbH, $9.96. Spezcom, $10.82. And I'm not sure if I pronounce this, Oleastrum in Germany, that's in North Rhine-Westphalia, is $10.97. These all include a 19% sales tax. Wow. That's pretty hard. And we complain about the 7.5 sales tax we got here, or 7.75 or whatever it is now, here in North Carolina. Wow, 19%. That's pretty high. Okay, so I checked on Seller Tracker. They didn't have a rating on it. They had it listed, but no real rating. And it is listed in Vivino has it listed. And it's giving a 4.0 rating out of 5 stars, 74 ratings. And they've got it listed for $6.86 a bottle. That's an average of all users' reported prices. And this is for the 2020 vintage. So I'll tell you what I paid for it. The wine store, winestore-online.com. I still have the receipt right here. And I paid for this 750-milliliter bottle of Momentum Solari, I paid $9.99. So there you go. That's what I paid for. It's about $10 then, okay? And there was sales tax. Let me see what I paid for the sales tax. That's a good question. I paid, let's see, I bought two bottles of wine here, and then it was $1.45 for the two bottles. And they were both $9.99, so... $21 is $20. So it's $1.45. Yeah, it comes out about $7 there. Anyway, so that's what I paid for it. Sure wasn't any 19%. Wow. Wow, that's got to be sticker shock for people in Germany, huh? And my good friend Ed is in the chat on Facebook. Ed says, wandering in, and great to see you, Ed, as always. My good friend Ed is here, and Ed, I know you're looking forward to seeing the fan again. Brew243 is in the chat on Twitch, and Brew says, evening, Rick, and evening right back at you, Brew. I'm sorry it took me so long. I was going over all the pricing and stuff for this wine. It still blows me away, 19% sales tax for wine in Germany. That's, you know, we could get to that point here. Who knows? But Brew, tell me what you're drinking tonight, and how are you doing? And I hope you stick around for the film. We're going to be showing The Fan, and I've been waiting to show this for quite a while. And let's see what else we have going on. And okay, we're checking all the other chats. Twitter is, I can't tell. I've got tweets going on here, but I can't really tell if they're all for me or not. Here's... I'm just checking around. All right. So my lovely wife, Chi, is in the chat on YouTube. And Chi says, Wensleydale Mimosa. That's what it is. It's that cheese right here that I was showing a few moments ago. This cheese has got orange or something in it. It's a Wensleydale Mimosa. She did tell me what it was before we got up here in the studio with it. But I promptly forgot. I told her, I said, I'm not going to remember this. She says, you better. You have to. I think that was her exact words. Or you have to. Well, I had to. Wensleydale Mimosa. I'm going to write this down because I'm going to forget it again. Wensleydale. Now, I should remember this because we're talking about this at the dinner table tonight. And... the reason that it should stick out in my head is because Wensleydale is Wallace's favorite cheese. You know Wallace and Gromit? You know Wallace and Gromit, the Nick Park films? That's Wallace's favorite cheese. It's Wensleydale. And I should have remembered that. By the way, my son Tommy tells me that that they're working on a new Wallace and Gromit film or something, which should be pretty cool. All right, so where was I? Oh, yes, we were going to taste the wine. That's what it was. All right, let me get back to where I was before. Oh, Hope I don't get a copyright strike for that. No, I was not quoting a line from a Beatles song, okay? They'll probably, you know, some of these, I don't know, some of these platforms say when they're bots and stuff, you know, they'll just strike anything, won't they? All right. Let's give it a whiff. Some cherry and some plum. And it smells, wow, it smells like a lot of vanilla in there. I'm getting a lot of vanilla. Let's give it a taste. Cherry, a little bit of plum, vanilla, and a little clove. A little bit of clove. And it's surprisingly smooth. Now, this is a fairly dry wine, not super dry, fairly dry. Medium tannins, but this is a surprisingly smooth wine. I like this. Very good. And it's quite jammy. Not super jammy, but it's quite jammy. It's actually fairly jammy. Like it. It has a fairly long finish. And it's kind of jammy going down. A little jammier, I'd say. But this is a, very smooth wine for 2020. This tastes like a wine that might have been, you know, should have been maybe like a 2018 or something, or 2019. I like it. Kind of jammy, for sure. But, I'm kind of liking this. I'm looking forward to trying it with some foods, and I think this is one that will probably go pretty well with the burger that we have here. Now, I think, I like wines that go well with burgers. Now, we're talking about three, and I'm going to show it again here, three different grapes, if you can read at the top, 34% Grenache Noir, 33% Syrah, and 33% Mourvedre. Now, this is an interesting, they kind of threw in the Mourvedre for, I don't know, it kind of adds a little spice to the mix, you know, it's kind of nice. But it looks like a pretty even distribution of the three, or the pretty even mix, not distribution, but a mix of the three. 30, you know, about 33, oh, a third. So it's an even third of each of them. So not bad. That's actually pretty good. Beats that wine we were having a little sometime back. What was that other one? I prefer not to remember it anyway. By the way, that was a wine that I poured out. There was one from a few weeks ago that I tried that I don't even know if I still have the picture up here anywhere. I do not. I think I got rid of the photo too. But there was one we tried a few weeks ago that I did not like. And I put it in the fridge and I said, gee, you know, you can have this one to cook with. And she said, nah, I don't want to mess with that one. So I just went ahead and dumped it down the drain. I did. That's not too many wines that I do that to, but that one I tossed the rest of that one out. So, I'm not trying that one again. So, anyway, where was I? Okay, we're going to pair it with some food. Let's pair it with foods now so we can get to the fun, right? Not that pairing with wine with food isn't fun. I mean, this is all fun. Well, it's unless you don't like drinking wine or eating food or watching someone else do it. Ed says, not Screaming Bishop. Screaming Bishop. What else do we have going on here? Okay, and Brew 243 is in here. Okay, we're good. We're set, right? Who else is in joining us tonight? Chi, thank you very much for telling me it was a Wensley deal. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. All right, so let's go ahead and jump to the pairing. We'll go to camera 3. And we're going to try it first with a burger because the burgers get cold fast. This was a burger from... Where's my camera? Here we go. This is a burger from Bad Daddy's Burger Bar, which is, they make a really great burger, by the way, in my personal opinion. I know some folks that have had it, we've had a discussion about it before where they didn't like Bad Daddy's, but I kind of like it. This is a good, this burger. I've got to refill this one. Tasty burger with cheese. I think that's cheddar on top. Goes good with the burger, but the cheese, it really makes the cheese stand out. Now, I have the cheese on top of the burger, really makes this cheese that was on top really pop from the burger. That was interesting. So, I'm guessing it should go pretty well with cheese. Well, in that case, let me clear the palate for just a moment. In that case, it should go really well. If it goes well with cheese, it should go really well with this piece of pizza. Now, this is pizza from Pizza Hut. Okay, I know. Some folks like Pizza Hut and some don't. It's okay. A little cold. The only thing I don't like about Pizza Hut pizza, the sauce is a bit sour. Goes fine with the pizza too, but you know what? For some reason, with the pizza, with the dough, the bread crust, if you will, it, for some reason, it kind of magnifies the leavening taste in the crust. You know what I mean? The kind of interesting. And that I'm going to try another piece of this. This has some olives. Yeah, you know, Pizza Hut pizza, the dough is kind of doughy. I think sometimes the sauce is a little on the sour side. You know, I could eat this with a Pizza Hut pizza. I drink it. I could drink this with a Pizza Hut pizza. That goes okay. I'm good with it. It's fine. It's good by itself, too, actually. All right, I'm going to clear the palate one more time. And let's try it this time with the... Oh, let me get on camera three here. I'm going to try it with the cheddar cheese. This is the cheddar... It's like a medium cheddar from Cracker Barrel. Good. Good cheddar, by the way. Try it. Nice with the cheddar. I like it with the cheddar, and it really kind of makes the cheddar cheese, just like it did on the burger, makes it kind of pop a little bit. I don't know if there's another word for it. Kind of like, you know, stands out, makes the cheese really stand out. I like that. Very good. Very good. Clear the palate one more time. And let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Back to camera three. And the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, which we've never had a miss on. We'll try it with that. Great Gouda, by the way. They should call it greater. Greater. Rather than Gouda. Nice and creamy. Now, interesting, the wine stands out a little bit more. from the Gouda. Nice blend, but you can generally tell the wine kind of overpowers Gouda a little bit more. So you get the wine. Maybe I just had too much wine rather than Gouda. But it's a good pairing, by the way. Not a miss. Definitely hit on that. Now we're going to clear the palate one more time. We're going to try it with something different. This is with the... I'm going to go back to camera three. Now I'm a little apprehensive about trying this one. I'll be honest. I'm a little apprehensive about this one because this is a new cheese that my lovely wife, Chi, just purchased today. And I never seen this cheese before that I can recall. And I'm not sure exactly what all is in this cheese. And to be honest, I don't know. I know that Wallace likes Wensleydale, but will I? We'll find out. So let's go back to camera three. I'm going to try it with the Wensleydale Mimosa. Now, mimosa sounds good, right? You're talking about mimosa. That's a good idea. I'll have a couple of mimosas, two or three. But in the cheese, I don't know. Okay, now this is interesting. There is orange in this cheese. All right, I had to just have that one by itself because I'd never had this before, and I had to try it on its own just to see what it was like. Pretty interesting. I could have little bits of this. I don't know if I could have a whole big hunk of it on my plate, but I could have little bits of it. It's very interesting. Let me get a piece that's... This is a very interesting cheese. Try it with the wine. I don't know if I like it with the wine. See, this isn't... I mean, if it was just Wensleydale by itself, I could give it a fair tasting, but because of the orange in there, and there's so much orange in there in this cheese, I mean, there is orange. I'm chewing on pieces of orange mixed with the wine. I don't... Yeah, I guess it's kind of like having a mimosa a little bit. Kind of has that taste a little bit. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. In the meantime, I'm going to clear the palate again. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that mimosa cheese goes better with a mimosa. Not so much with this dry red wine. So, I don't know. All right. So, I think that'll do it for the tasting for now. And that tasting, I didn't want to end the tasting on a sour note. I wouldn't say it's sour, but now Ed says, cheese known to Wallace and not to me. Oh, it's in parentheses. Okay. Yeah, that is. It's known to Wallace, but not to me. Well, I think I would have liked to have tried it without the mimosa, without the orange in there. Let's see what else is going on and tried it with the wine. I think it would be fairer to have tried the wine with it if it was just a regular Wensleydale without things, you know, like mixed up in it or something. I don't know. All right, I'm checking the chats around. Looks good. And let's go back. Chi, I don't know. Where did you get this cheese, by the way? It was interesting cheese. All right, let me fill the wine glasses because I think what it's time for. We need a little diversion here. Here's a diversion. It's time for... Well, anybody? Okay. It's time for the National Days. All right, let me cue the one. I was just waiting for everybody to say all together, the National Days. Okay. National days. I'm going to pull up the national days, and this is courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is a really great website where everybody pulls their national days from, including me. And Marlo Anderson is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com. And we give away some of the calendars every year on the show, and we're going to be doing that. I believe we've got plans to do that again this coming January 1st, I don't know if we actually have. Yeah, I think we do, actually. I think we have a wine stream scheduled for the 31st, which I believe is a Saturday night. So there you go. That could be a lot of fun. All right, October 29th, which is today for another 1 hour and 10 minutes. October 29th is National Cat Day. Now, I did say in my show notes leading up to the episode that we were going to talk about National Cat Day. But I'm not really a cat person. I've had cats. When I was a kid, I owned cats. My sister had a cat. Oh, she still has cats now. She owns cats. Actually, both my sisters have cats, I think. And one of my sisters has dogs, too. We had cats in our family growing up. And dogs. And goats and chickens and all kinds of stuff. And we didn't even live on a farm. We lived in the middle of a subdivision. In the suburbs, in the burbs. And we had a menagerie. But, yeah, it brings back some memories of cats. National Cat Day. Who has a cat? Anybody have a cat? I know there are some cat lovers. There are some dog lovers out there. Anybody cat lover out there? Ed, you like cats? I had a friend who had a cat, and at the time I was kind of suffering from some cat allergies, and I don't know where they came from. And I think it had more to do with the fact that the cat owner didn't ever clean their house. Rather than just the cat. But, and I'm not even going to go there, but cats in general, if I've been petting a cat and I've had my hands around my eyes or whatever, my eyes will get all itchy and everything. But other than that, not anything really serious. But I do recall a story. Oh, here's a cat story. Yeah, story time. Okay, I do recall a cat story. When I was a kid, I was about, during the time that we were shooting Attack of the Bubble Creatures, which if you're not familiar with that, now we're going to show that again sometime soon, not tonight. Attack of the Bubble Creatures. I was walking home one evening. It was on a Saturday, or I think it was a Saturday evening. We were walking home with a couple of my friends, with Dana Dunham, who was one of the stars of the film of Attack of the Bubble Creatures. And I think I was about 16 maybe at the time, 16, maybe 17. And I was walking home in our neighborhood with my friend Dana Dunham and another friend of mine. The three of us were walking home. That was Anthony Davis, Anthony. So the three of us were walking home, and all of a sudden, we hear this meowing, and we kind of look behind us, and there was this black cat. Now, we weren't superstitious guys of any sort, you know. So, you know, we thought, oh, well, you know, there's a black cat. It's just kind of following us around and meowing. So, I bent down to pet the cat because I thought, wow, what a pretty cat. And I started bend down to pet it and then stopped because I realized it only had one eye. It was a one-eyed cat. The other eye was missing. And I just kind of jumped back and said, oh, my goodness, it's a one-eyed cat. The cat is missing one of its eyes. And then my friends kind of looked at it, and they kind of jumped back, too. And they said, and the three of us said, well, maybe we better just kind of go on home and leave that cat alone. It might have been a stray or something. You don't want to pet a stray cat. You never know. So we started walking home. A few moments later, we heard this meowing, and we looked behind us. The cat was still following us. And we were going up a couple of streets, and this cat was still following us. So we just kind of looked at each other. We started walking a little faster. Started just picked up the pace a little bit, started walking a little faster. And And then after a few moments of that, we look behind us and the cat is still following us. And it's going faster too. And so we started, well, you know, we're thinking, well, this is a little creepy. So we started getting to a little bit of a trot. So we turn around to the corner to the street where our house was on, that my house was on the end of the street. So we get to there and we're kind of sort of, you know, we're kind of trotting along a little bit now, you know, and we look behind us and the cat is kind of running too. And so this really kind of freaked us out, you know. So the three of us just kind of looked at each other and we said, let's get out of here. And we just started running. And this was, I forgot to set the tone. This was at dusk on a Saturday night. It was almost getting dark. And we just kind of looked at each other and we just broke in a full run towards the house. And we looked back and the cat broke into a full run too and is chasing us now. So my mom opens the door, the front door, wondering what's going on, and she sees these three big 17-year-old teenagers running up the street, and she's wondering, what are they running from? And then she sees this little black one-eyed cat running behind us. We were being chased by a little bitty cat down the street into our house. We ran into the house, shut the door. I don't know what happened to the cat after that, but that was a little... Well, I think she was laughing and she thought it was pretty funny. I think kind of absurd, but it was, you know, it was a weird story. Anyway, where was I? Oh yes. National Cat Day. Okay. I'll drink a National Cat Day, whatever. It's also National Hermit Day, October 29th. And that is National Hermit Day. And that's, we're talking about hermit, like not a hermit crab, but a hermit like people who like to hide from the world. National Hermit Day. It's also National Oatmeal Day. Who likes oatmeal? You like oatmeal? I like oatmeal. I can't eat it every day. I know there are people that do eat it every day, but I can't eat it every day because that's just a little too much fiber for me every day, and I'm not going to go into details there. National Oatmeal Day. I'll drink to that. Quick oatmeal story. But let me get to Ed first. Ed says, I have a friend who gives a home to 30 plus cats. 36, I think. You're kidding. 36 cats? My goodness. Ed says, one of them is a one-eyed black cat named Jack, or more formally, One-Eyed Jack. That makes sense. Of course, it would be One-Eyed Jack. That's very good, Ed. I like that. One-Eyed Jack. 36 cats? My goodness. See, I could see maybe one or two cats, maybe. I couldn't house more than one or two cats. And now, she's not a cat person. She does not like cats. We found that out the hard way when Tia tried to adopt one. She does not like cats. My mother-in-law had a cat for about 2 days. That's another story. I'm not going to go into it tonight. But she doesn't like cats. She's more of a dog person. I'm checking the chats again here. There we go. Where was I? Oh, yes, it's National something day, right? I pulled it down. Okay, National Oatmeal Day. Did you know they make all kinds of oatmeal? Quaker Oats makes a lot of different oatmeals, and I have the single-serve oatmeal packs that are kind of instant sometimes, and they make them with cinnamon and apple and cinnamon sugar, and they make them in plain, of course, and that's really the healthiest way to have it, by the way. And they make all kinds of, you know, fancy mixes with them, strawberries and cream and blueberries and cream and all that kind of stuff. But I came across one that I thought was really interesting that I had to try, and that was Lucky Charms oatmeal. Yes, Lucky Charms oatmeal. And I'm such a big kid that I had to, with a sweet tooth, that I had to try the Lucky Charms oatmeal. And I did. And you know what? That's pretty good. Yes, they had the oatmeal with the Lucky Charms, you know, marshmallows in it. They put the marshmallows in the oatmeal and you mix it up. I know. Every time I eat it, Tommy gives me like this look like, Dad, grow up. Just Dad, grow up. But it's actually pretty good. So here's a Lucky Charms oatmeal. You know, and that's what made me the man I am today. It's also, I didn't mention National Hermit Day, but it's also World Stroke Day. Now, I'm going to read this a little bit because I think this is important. This is the public service announcement on Drink with Rick for tonight. And I'm getting this information directly from nationaldaycalendar.com. You can read it from nationaldaycalendar.com. Today is actually World Stroke Day. And I'm going to read this. World Stroke Day on October 29th seeks to emphasize the serious nature and high rates of stroke. The day is also observed to raise awareness of the prevention and treatment of strokes. According to previous statistics, 1 in 6 people are expected to have a stroke during their lifetime. 15 million people around the world have strokes each year. It's also the leading cause of disability. A stroke may cause paralysis, sensory disturbances, aphasia, and emotional disturbances. I'm still reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com, by the way. Over 6 million people die as a result of a stroke. Throughout the world, stroke is the second leading cause of death. Additionally, current statistics suggest that the number of people expected to have a stroke has increased. Now, 1 in 4 people is likely to have a stroke. And I think that some of that has to do with everyone being sedentary during the pandemic. That might have something to do. I'm just guessing here, but they're just saying that recently. Current statistics suggest this. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with it. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. So this is serious stuff, folks. And I'm going to read this just for the sake of all of us here. Knowing the early warning signs of stroke saves lives. Early symptoms of a stroke usually happen suddenly. Now, these symptoms include numbness or weakness, especially on one side of the body, confusion or trouble talking, trouble seeing, dizziness or trouble walking, and severe headache. Now, if you or a loved one is having any of these symptoms, it's important to act fast, and they have this listed as FAST, with like an acronym. F stands for facial weakness. A stands for arm weakness. S stands for speech difficulty, and T stands for time loss is brain loss. Call 911 when these symptoms are present. Don't wait. Now, I'm going to continue to read this here at nationaldaycalendar.com. Forgive me, Marlo, if I'm taking too much of your text here, but I think this is very, very important to get to everyone. Early warning signs of a stroke may disappear after a few minutes. However, the symptoms still indicate a transient ischemic attack, or TIA. Even if symptoms disappear, it's important to receive medical attention right away. It's important to know the symptoms of a stroke. Furthermore, it's also important to know that strokes can be prevented. In fact, up to 90% of all strokes can be prevented by addressing certain risk factors. These risk factors include hypertension, diet, smoking, and exercise. Through an emphasis on prevention, the World Stroke Association hopes to cut the number of strokes in half by 2030. I think this is very important for us to be aware of, and I will toast to World Stroke Day for everyone's awareness on the dangers of having a stroke. October 30th, which is tomorrow in another 56 minutes. October 30th is National Candy Corn Day. You like candy corn? I like candy corn in small amounts. When I start eating more than just a few pieces, it starts getting sickening, you know. National Candy Corn Day. Why not? It's also National Publicist Day, and I had to look this one up. I know what a publicist is, but I had to look up why are we celebrating National Publicist Day. This is also coming from nationaldaycalendar.com. National Publicist Day recognizes publicists around the country on October 30th and the PR they provide each day. All right. That is on October 30th, 1906, the New York Times printed verbatim the very first press release written by Ivy Lee, the father of modern PR. Ivy Lee represented the Pennsylvania Railroad on October 28, 1906. 50 people lost their lives. A three-car train jumped a trestle in New Jersey and plunged into a thoroughfare creek. In response, Ivy Lee created the first press release. I did not know this. This is interesting. The first press. Now, I've written a number of press releases in my day. I've written quite a few of them. I did not know the origin of the first press release. Here it is. Reading from nationaldaycalendar.com again, he says, he not only convinced the railroad to distribute a public statement, but he also convinced them to provide a special train to get reporters to the scene of the accident. Impressed by Lee's innovative approach to corporate communications, the New York Times printed the first press release verbatim on October 30th, 1906, as a statement from the road. And this information was obtained from searchenginewatch.com. So here's to National Publicist Day. I'll drink to that. The invention of the press release. We had the invention of the printing press. Now then we had the invention of the press release. There you go. All right, and lastly, but not leastly, it's October 30th, which is tomorrow in it's tomorrow in 54 minutes now. It's actually National Speak Up for Service Day, and I'm going to read this one too because this is interesting. Thought I would send this along here. Reading from nationaldaycalendar.com, Speak Up for Service Day on October 30th, recognize, I haven't had enough of this yet. Speak Up for Service Day on October 30th recognizes the importance of young people to be actively involved in community service. You young people. Do more community service and get off my lawn. Too often, the good deeds of young people go unnoticed by their communities. Speak Up for Service Day gives recognition to the overlooked. It serves as a reminder to tell others about the contributions of young people to their community. Here's to whatever it was we were going to toast here. National Speak Up for Service Day. I'll drink to that. All right. And with that, that does it for the National Days. Once again, we're drinking Momentum Solare. This is a 2020 wine. 34% Grenache Noir, 33% Syrah, 33% Mourvedre. Pretty good wine so far, I think. Let's go back to the chats once again. Ed is telling us about the person with 36 cats. Ed says, I read a couple of minutes ago. Ed says he has a friend who gives a home to 36 cats. 30 plus cats, 36, he thinks. Ed says she had 17 cats and a friend who had a similar number who had to leave her mobile home and needed help with the cats. Plus, she adopts some orphaned kittens sometimes. Wow. So she had 17 cats. Her friend had about 16 or 17 cats, whatever, and her friend had to leave the mobile home, and she took in the cats, I guess, right? And she adopted some orphaned kittens. And she still does this. Wow. How does she feed all those cats? Wow. That can't be cheap. I take it she lives alone. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if it's a whole family in there, that's talk about a full house. Wow. 36 cats. Well, wow. I'm still trying to process that one there. All right. Let me check the chats everywhere else. Okay, we're good. We've got a film coming up, folks, here in just a couple of minutes. What else do we have going on here before? I wrote down Wesley Dale Mimosa. I've got to the jury's still out on that one. I don't know. Okay, I was going to tell you about some trivia books that I've got here. Ed, you have one on the way, by the way. This is the one that I'm sending to you, by the way. It's right here. Now, I was telling you about, I was looking for some of these books because we were talking about trivia last week, and I really wanted to go over to do some trivia contests and things like that and do some book giveaways. And I found a couple that I thought were pretty interesting because I like crossword puzzles and word search puzzles and things like that, word jumbles and things. I like all kinds of puzzles. And I saw this one on Amazon, classic TV shows that were crossword puzzles, and I thought this would be great to give some of these away. What I didn't realize was how big the book is. The book's actually this book. It's actually a full-size book. But, Ed, you're getting – Ed won one last week. You're getting one of these. I'm going to send one to you here. They just came in, by the way, so I haven't had a chance to ship it out to you because I just got them. This one right here is Classic TV Shows, Crossword Puzzles, TV and Movies, Word Puzzles, Series Number 2. So it's more than one in the series. But I can tell you some of the shows that are in here because I flipped through this already and I thought, wow, a lot of these look like a lot of fun. There's a whole list of them in the back, actually, if we can find it. Oh, those are the answers. I don't want to give out the answers. But let's see what we'll go in this book. We've got The Avengers. Anybody remember the Avengers? That ran from 61 to 1969. There were 161 episodes of that. Avengers, yeah. Classic TV show. I remember watching some of those. That had Patrick Meaney and Diana Rigg in it. Diana Rigg, yeah. Batman, the original Batman, the one with Adam West and Burt Ward, my favorite Batman. It's like, in my opinion, he was Batman. And Burt Ward was Robin. You know, I don't know about these other guys that played it since. Those were Batman and Robin. That was Batman and Robin. They'll always be Batman and Robin to me. We got a puzzle here for the Big Valley. Wow, the Big Valley. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but I had to edit this show for television. I worked for Channel 35. I had to edit the Big Valley, and I liked westerns, but this was more of a Western. It was like a soap opera Western is what it was more like. It was like a soap opera, but a Western soap opera. It was really interesting. Different concept. But this is one that had Barbara Stanwyck in it, Richard Long, Linda Evans, and, of course, Lee Majors. Lee Majors, who went on to be the $6 Million Man, and did The Fall Guy. He was in The Fall Guy later on that we also ran on our station. But we were running The Big Valley, and we ran this on film. And I remember having to edit every single one of those episodes on film, on 16 millimeter. I had to edit for time and commercial breaks because those shows ran about 52 minutes long. And we had to cut them down to about 46 to 48 minutes. So every episode, I had to watch these episodes to figure out where I could cut out a couple of minutes without messing up the whole plot of the show for consistency. Bonanza, they got Bonanza in here. Ran from 1959 to 1973. That was a very, very long-running show. Charlie's Angels. They got Charlie's Angels in here. Columbo. Yes. Columbo crossword puzzle. My favorite, and I would say in my humble opinion, the greatest TV detective of all time, Columbo. Peter Falk. My goodness. Just one more thing. Dallas. Dallas, the original Dallas TV show. I think they remade it, but this is the, or they're remaking it now. Anyway, Dallas, that's the original Dallas. That had, of course, Patrick Duffy and Linda Gray, Larry Hagman, of course, who was in I Dream of Jeannie before that, Dragnet, who could forget Dragnet? 276 episodes. That show ran for so long, 1951 to 1959, 276 episodes of Dragnet. Now, I'm not talking about the movie. The movie was a remake. That was kind of a spoof remake with, you know, Dan Aykroyd did the part of Jack Webb. But it was Jack Webb and Ben Alexander and Ben Alexander. Interesting that they didn't put Harry Morgan in there, because Harry Morgan was his sidekick for the longest time. You know, Harry Morgan was the guy who went on to play Colonel Potter in MASH. But Dragnet, of all the years that Dragnet was running, I remember it being Jack Webb and Harry Morgan, you know? And let's see, Jack Webb playing the lead character. He also produced and directed that whole show. Anyway, I think he wrote a lot of them too. But that was a classic. I saw an episode of it last week, actually, on MeTV, a real late night. ER, the TV show ER. That there were a few stars that came out of that one. George Clooney and Noah Wiley were in ER. I think this is one that really made George Clooney a big star. 331 episodes. I didn't realize it lasted that long, but it. And of course, The Fugitive with David Janssen, The Fugitive, and Gunsmoke with James Arness and Dennis Weaver, Amanda Blake as Miss Kitty, Milburn Stone and as Doc. It's just classic stuff here. A lot of. And Gunsmoke was one of the longest running, for years and years, Gunsmoke was the longest running show on TV. 635 episodes. 635. Wow. And I think The Simpsons beat that later on. Hawaii Five-O, the original Hawaii Five-O, not this remake. I don't know why the remake is as popular as it is. To me, Jack Lord is always going to be Hawaii. You know, he's always going to be McGarrett. You know, James MacArthur, Cam Fong, James MacArthur, Danny, Dan Bookham Dano. Ed says Harry Morgan came on the redo of Dragnet starting in 67, I think. You may be correct on that one. Yeah, I think you're right. That was, in 67. But that was when I was old enough where I started. Well, I didn't really start watching it. I didn't really start watching Dragnet until I was like 12 or so. I didn't really see those episodes until I was, 12 or 13 or so. Hill Street Blues. Wow, Hill Street Blues is in here. Kojak is in here. See, this is the crossword puzzle book that you're getting, Ed, that I'm sending out to you. If you remember the classic shows here, there's some really good crossword puzzle things in here. Here's one from. I'll read another one here. This is Kojak. Kojak runs on MeTV also late night. I see that every once in a while. Who loves you, baby? L.A. Law. L.A. Law, 172 episodes. The Lone Ranger. This is going way back. 1949 to 1957, 221 episodes. That's the one with Jay Silverheels in it as Tonto, and Clayton Moore is Lone Ranger. And, one of my favorites here. And I was just watching something on a little... documentary thing on it last night on YouTube, Lost in Space. A favorite of mine since I was a little kid, Lost in Space, 83 episodes, 1965 1978. Guy Williams, June Lockhart, Mark Goddard, Marta Christian, Bill Mummy, Angela Cartwright, Jonathan Harris, of course, as Dr. Smith. I do recall meeting Jonathan Harris years ago. Before he passed away, in real life. I mean, he's larger than life. Jonathan Harris was Maverick with James Garner. Goodness, and Roger Moore was in here too in Maverick. Miami Vice, Don Johnson with Philip Michael Thomas, and you know, there's 112 episodes of that. Moonlighting, Sybil Shepherd, Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis really went on that, really launched his career, Willis's career. Murder, She Wrote, of course, with Angela Lansbury. You know how many episodes that was? 264 episodes of Murder, She Wrote. Amazing. NYPD Blue. The Rockford Files. Jim Rockford. James Garner and Noah Beery Jr. Star Trek, of course. Of course, Star Trek is in here. I was watching a little thing about the other night with Bill Shatner. Something was reminiscing of. I think he was reacting to other people that were doing impressions of him. Seen Elsewhere. Oh man, Ed Begley Jr., Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel was known for that. Adventures of Superman, the original one, George Reeves. Well, and Twilight Zone is in here too. Twilight Zone. I've seen, who hasn't seen every episode of The Twilight Zone? Like multiple times with Rod Serling. I've got some trivia on that. I'm not going to do it tonight, but The Waltons, of course, The Waltons. John Boy. With The Wild Wild West. Oh, I remember watching all these shows with Robert Conrad, you know, and Ross Martin. And I always thought Ross Martin was the cooler of the two. Just because he could do all these costumes go in disguise, undercover in disguise. Wonder Woman with Linda Carter and Lyle Wagner. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stuff in here. I'm going through all this. I'm spending a lot of time going through this book, right? This is it. I'm going to give one of these away probably next week, actually. I got this, and then Ed, you're getting a copy of this from last week. I've got another one here, too, that's a word search that I've got a couple of those. I haven't tried that one yet. Ed says, John Hart played TLR for a while, the Lone Ranger, for a while during a contract dispute with Clayton Moore. I did not know that. See, Ed is a cornucopia of trivia. He has more insight into trivia than I do. We watched too much TV when we were kids, didn't we? Yeah. I watch too much TV now. But now I'm doing it because I'm reminiscing, more or less. John Hart. This is for a short period of time. Do you know, I found out something last night about Lost in Space, where there were two or three episodes where June Lockhart and Guy Williams were actually written out for two or three episodes. Primarily because, and this is how I've heard it, primarily because there was an episode that they did that had to do with vegetable people or something. It was a really, really silly episode. And they were laughing so hard during the filming of this episode that it was just so disruptive. They couldn't stop laughing because they thought it was the dumbest thing. And they were laughing throughout the whole thing, every take. And they had so much trouble shooting this thing that they got written out of, like, I guess they were penalized by the producers. Irwin Allen was the producer of the show, and apparently Allen didn't like it, and he wrote them out of two or three episodes to kind of give them, like, okay, here's a timeout, guys. A little trivia there. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I remember that episode. I remember the time that I saw it thinking, wow, this is such a stupid episode. And other than that, though, I like the show. All right, so that's the trivia going on here. We've got a lot of things going on for the holidays. I'm planning to do a lot of giveaways. Oh, by the way, I was going to show you this real quick. I'm reading another book. Where did he put it? I didn't bring it here with me. I've been reading another book called Published, and this is by Chandler Bolt, and I'm in the process of reading it, because, and I'm not going to tell you why yet, but I've been reading it. It's a very interesting book. So far, I like it. It's very good, and I'm going to try this out. I'm not going to spill the beans here, but I am actually my boss told me the other day, he says, actually, you are a published author already. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't really call what I'm doing now published. And he says, well, look, you're this is what I'm doing at work on my day job. One of the things I do on my day job is, among the other things I do, is I do these. We sell radios, buy2radios.com. And some of the radios that we sell, some of those books come in Chinglish, you know. And so we've taken on ourselves to rewrite a few of these books in plain English. And that's one of the things I do is I basically write it from scratch. So I have a number of manuals, user manuals. These are all like user manuals for the various radios that we sell that I write in English and with illustrations and things like that. And it's that's what I've been doing. He says, you know, technically you're a published author because you're publishing these user manuals. And it's not the same thing, though. I mean, I've had a little practice there writing these owner's manuals, user guides, whatever you want to call them. But it's not really the same thing as being like a published author. I mean, nobody who buys the radios comes up to me and says, hey, Rick, could you autograph my user manual for me? That's not going to happen. I don't think it will. Half the time, these people don't even read the user manuals. They have trouble with it, and they call us up on the phone looking for help. And you know, sometimes we tell them, this, you know, it's in the manual. Read the manual. RTM. But, no, we help them out. But the thing is that, I write these manuals that nobody reads because they'd rather just call us up first when they get frustrated with it and ask us to walk them through it over the phone or something rather than read the manual. You know, such is life. So I write these manuals, these user guides, these operating manuals that nobody reads. But I'm looking to do a little bit more than that. Maybe write a real book one of these days. So I'm looking at this book now. And if it's any good, I'm going to give the full review. If it's any good, I've got several to give away, actually, as a matter of fact. So we'll be doing that during the holidays as well. All right. So that brings us to the next time, which is that the film. That's right, the film. Brew243, I hope you're doing well. Hope everybody's doing well. Ed, I hope everybody's sitting down and ready for this film. This is a film for the ages. No, this is a... Okay, let me do the setup for you real quick. When I was in high school, or last year in high school, 1977 to 78 year, my buddies and I, we had a film club going, but we took a film course, and we, which actually we helped bring about, but the year before, but we had a film club going in high school, and we used to make some films. Some of these Super 8 films came from that. Some of the films that I'm hoping to show later on were the result of some of the things we made in our film club days. And this is Lake Howell High School, by the way. For those of you who know of or are alumni of Lake Howell High School, I attended Lake Howell High School in the 70s, and we had a film club. So we were making Standard 8 films and Super 8 films, things like that. And this film class that we took, my buddies and I that were in the film club, some of us took it on the first semester and some of us took it in the second semester. Now, in the first semester, Doug Torta, Peter Gibbiser, and myself, we took that class. We made a film called News at 6, which I have shown News at 6 in the past on the show. I've shown pieces of it and also in almost in its entirety. And then the second semester, my other buddies, Eric Solomon and Jim Chamberlain, took the class then. And what they did was they decided their film project was going to be a horror film. So I wasn't directly involved in shooting it or doing the editing. I was involved in the editing. I wasn't involved in doing the shooting or the writing of it or being in the film, but I was basically the film editor, the guy who edited the whole thing together for them. So what you're going to see tonight is that. Now, this was supposed to be kind of a pseudo-serious film at the time, but we couldn't make serious films. It just that our group was not, we were not cut out for that. We were cut out for doing comedy, and that's what we like to do. So this film, that's kind of how it really turned out more. And here's the unfortunate part of this film. I got to set you up for this real quick. Unlike the films that I had that I kept, and most of them in pretty decent shape, one or two of them had a few problems because they have been stored for so long. But unlike some of those films, I did not have this one in my possession at the time for all these years. One of my buddies did, and because it was basically his film. He had it stored, and it was almost forgotten about, and it had deteriorated over time. So when we were going to get this transferred, I had him send it to Nicholas Coyle, who does all our film transfers. And the film itself visually was not too bad. You'll see some spots in there where you can see that there is some deterioration going on in the film. But the soundtrack, which was a magnetic soundtrack, it did not hold up well. So the sound is not in great shape. I did the best I could under the circumstances to reclaim the soundtrack. So you're going to hear some of it's going to be okay, and then some other parts of it are going to be a little bit muddied, maybe hard to hear some of the dialogue. But I just want to set you up for that. Other than that, it's arable, it's viewable. So we've got this film here that I'm going to show here in just a moment or two. One other thing to note is, I was going to send the audio to another person that I know to try to get improve it even more. That didn't happen in time. I was thinking about adding some subtitles to it to, you know, so you could read it, so you can see some text, so the parts that are hard to understand you could read, but I didn't get to that in time. Maybe I'll do that another time. But anyway, so here is the fan. And one other thing that I do want to mention is that for those of you who are watching now, you can see it in real time. For those of you who are listening to the podcast later, and hearing all about the fan, I will have a link to the film in the show notes for the episode of this show, and also on drinkwithrick.com, drinkwithrick.com, for the show notes for this episode of the podcast. I will have a link there so you can watch the film there at your leisure. Otherwise, the film itself will not be included because the audio is just so bad in certain spots that it's not going to transfer well to a podcast anyway. Anyway, without any further ado, well, let me check the chats one more time just to make sure. We good? There? All right. Checking Twitch. Okay, and Brew, I hope you have a good brew to drink while you're watching this, because I think you're going to need it. Anyone else watching the show here? Kane, hope you've got something good to drink with this. I'm going to be drinking with this. Anyone else watching along, raise your glasses, and let's all watch The Fan together. Yeah, it was classic. That film was made in 1978, I believe, early 1978. That was the year we graduated. So the film is 44 years old, I believe. So, it did not fare too well in the storage during those 44 years that it kind of degenerated, and it kind of took a little bit to get it back to where it was really, really the audio anyway was able, you could really hear anything on it. So that's kind of how bad it was. Nicholas didn't, he thought it was, the audio was really, really bad. And when I got it, I did what I could with it. It was actually in worse shape than you heard it, a lot worse shape. And I fixed it up some, but I'm going to see if it can be fixed up a little bit better. Maybe with this modern AI technology, maybe it can really make it better than it was. To quote the $6 million man. anyway, that was the fan. Curious what you think about it. You can always send me your comments and your feedback at rick@savoyamedia.com, rick@savoyamedia.com right here. Also, your suggestions for anything that I should try, I should review as far as the wine is concerned, or anything else, beer or ales or cider, whatever else. You can feel free to contact me there. Let me check the chats one more time. Ed says, good to see Fan again. Yeah, Ed had seen it many, many, many years ago on when we showed it on a film projector, as it was intended to be shown on a film projector on the wall or on a screen, the silver screen. And that's how it was originally intended to be shown. But these days, well, with all of the normal, with all the modern technology and everything, the normal way we watch movies isn't like that anymore. The normal way we watch films is pretty much on a computer, a high-definition TV, that sort of thing. If it is on a projector, it's on some sort of projection device that projects the digital image up on a screen. Far cry from where we were back then during the days of the Fan. We shot stuff on Super 8 and 16mm, 35mm, the way shows were originally shot, movies were originally shot in 35mm. Kane says, I want holographic TV by now. Wow, you know what? I was expecting, that's a good point, Kane. I was expecting holographic TV to be around by this time. You know, when I was growing up, I was thinking, yeah, in the year 2022, the year, you know, after the year 2000, I figured everything was going to be 3D TV, holographic television. Saying, yeah, of course, we do have, they tried to make 3D TV happen with the 3D HD and 4K TVs. It never really took off, actually. And I think the main thing is because you still need the glasses. You know, if they can do it without the glasses, you know, holographic images and stuff, I think it can be done. The technology is there. It's just so expensive to try to produce something like that or to mass produce something like that that the masses could afford to buy. But you know what? 20 years ago, I would have said the same thing about cell phones. I mean, this is essentially, you know, the other night I was browsing the old Commodore computers because I used to own a Commodore 64, and now they have something out called the Commodore 65, which is kind of a remake of the 64, but like the next generation. There's a little thing where for a very, very brief period, there was a prototype of a Commodore 65 that was going to come out by Commodore, but it didn't really happen. But somebody came along and said, let's actually make one now and 2020, because there is a movement. There's an 8-bit movement out there. Just it's all this retro stuff. You know, you had the vinyl that was, you know, it was kind of retro, but vinyls come back. Cassettes are coming back. Cassette tapes are coming back, or they've been back for a year or two. A lot of this retro stuff. Now I kind of draw the line at 8-tracks, but. Reel-to-reel, I wouldn't mind seeing reel-to-reel come back. I had a reel-to-reel recorder, and I liked it. I worked with them when I was in television. 8-bit, 8-bit games and things like that. There's a whole big, you know, community of people who are really into 8-bit games and 8-bit programming and 8-bit computers in general, like the Commodore 64 and the Atari 400s and things like that, and way back in the day. And I had no idea at the time. If I knew then what I know now about this sort of thing, I would never have gotten rid of my original Commodore PET or my VIC-20 or my 64 or any of that stuff. I would have held on to it for dear life, because this stuff is making a comeback. Some of these things are really, really valuable, and wow, it's just amazing. But even then, back in the day, I was going to mention that cell phones like this, that something like this is, it was unheard of, amazing, unheard of at all. And and here we have this. You know, we've had cell phones for what, 20 some odd years now, and who knows what's coming next? You know. Holographic TV, I think it's still possible. I think holographic TV could be. I think there could be a breakthrough at some point soon where we could all be watching 3D TVs and holographic television, things like that. You know, kind of like Star Wars with R2-D2 projecting holographic images of Princess Leia going, "Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope." You know, that kind of thing. So. I believe it can still happen. It's still on the horizon. And I think the main thing is being able to mass produce it and make it affordable for people to have. These cell phones aren't even affordable anymore. In my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, these things are not even affordable anymore. I remember my first flip phone cell phone which was pretty cool, compact and everything. You know, you could get these things. You get on a 2-year contract, of course, but you could basically get them free, and they were only a couple hundred dollars. These things are like $1,200, $1,500. They're super expensive now, and they're getting more expensive every day. But the technology in these things is nothing short of amazing. Now, people are jaded because they walk around with these things and say, "Well, you know, I'm texting my friend, I'm taking videos and things like this on my phone." I heard somebody complaining the other day about when they were comparing the iPhone to a Samsung Galaxy, and they were saying that one of the cameras on one of them was really crummy compared to the cameras on the other one. It was worse, and I'm thinking to myself, "My goodness." Instead of complaining about that, I would still be amazed. I'm still amazed that this thing can do 4K video and take high-resolution pictures. Now, these days, it's just a given. Everybody just assumes that's what they're going to do, and anything short of that is not acceptable. But goodness, I still find it – maybe I'm just too old. I just still find it incredibly amazing. What if we'd shot the fan on something like this? And we'd edit it on nonlinear, you know, editing machine like or computers like, you know, using something like DaVinci Resolve. We could have come up with something really amazing. Probably still would have been a stupid script, but the dialogue stuff probably would have still been stupid. But, you know, the picture and the audio would have been great. But I don't know. I think people have become so accustomed to all the technology and just so jaded over it, I think they've lost sight of the fact that all the stuff we have is just absolutely amazing, what we have now. It really is. Things that you can do with it. Just fantastic stuff. Anyway, so I'm going on a little bit of a rant now, as I do sometimes. I say appreciate what you have, all right? Because I tell you what, it's all technology. This could all go away tomorrow. I'm seriously, all it takes is one EMP event or something, you know. Like that. And I'm not talking about a World War III or something. I'm talking about just a big blast from the sun or something like that. You know, it could wipe out a lot of electronics and things. And some people say, "Ah, well, that's, you know, That's not going to happen. Never know. Stuff happens. It happened in the 1800s. Of course, in the 1800s, they didn't really have all this stuff. So it just knocked, back then, it just basically knocked out some telegraph lines. That was all it did. But today, if we had an event like that, a big solar pulse like that, that happened today, wow, it could do some major damage. And we're all back in the Stone Age, pretty much. Anyway, so appreciate this stuff. Appreciate this technology. Look, though, I'm able to stream to you. I'm streamed to 5 different platforms, and we're just having this discussion. It's amazing stuff. It really is. I don't take it granted. I'm never ceased to be amazed by what we have here. And Ed says, and where's my George Jetson flying car? That's right. We still don't have, we have all this stuff, right? We've been to the moon and back several times. They're planning to go again. They want to go to Mars. We've got the internet. We've got all the streaming technology. We have, oh man, we have the phones, the 4K and 3D and this wine. We have this wine. Of course, always got to have the wine. We have all of this technology. Self-driving. You know, I hear there that Amazon's putting out some self-driving vehicles now on the road for deliveries, package deliveries. And we've got drones, and we have, we have so much stuff now. It's just amazing technology. And with all of that, we still don't have the flying car. That's right, Ed. We still don't. All this stuff we have, we still don't have a flying car. What happened with that? Ah, goodness. I wanted to have a flying car like George Jetson. Yeah. Or at least something like what they had in Blade Runner or something, you know? Harrison Ford had a flying car. And who else did? Oh, yeah. Fifth Element. Bruce Willis had a flying car. I don't have a flying car. Where's my flying car? Appreciate what you have. Actually, I think if we had flying cars, this place would be a real mess. They still don't have highways and roads figured out to where we can drive safely on them, really. And flying cars, oh my goodness. I think flying cars would be a disaster. I really do. What do you think? Tom Antio's in the chat. Tom Antio says, how's the wine? Tom Antio, it's great to see you. The wine is fine. It's actually pretty good. And I'm going to give my, I think that's my cue to give the final review on this wine, isn't it? Is I think it's time for us to go. So I think it's time for the final review. Thank you. Nice segue, Tom. How was the fan, by the way? You all like the fan? We've got more stuff like it coming. Some of it better. Some of it worse. We'll see. And anyway, it's time for him to do the final review. So this is what we've been drinking tonight. Tom says it was funny. Thank you. All right. Here's what we were drinking tonight. Momentum Solare 2020. This was 34% Grenache. Grenache Noir, 33% Syrah, 33% Mourvèdre, and 13.5% alcohol by volume, I believe, and it actually is a really nice wine. I like it a lot. It's very good, and it is it's fairly dry, not super dry, but it's fairly dry, and not bad. It's actually very nice to drink. This is... I was getting some, what am I getting into it now, actually? Let me see if that's opened up. Still getting the vanilla, actually. The vanilla, getting a lot of that. I was getting a lot of that in the beginning. Some plum, some cherry, some, it actually is fairly jammy. Actually, the jamminess is still with us here. I'm going to have a jammy wine. Nice long finish. It's very smooth, medium tannin, but it's very, very smooth, actually, surprisingly smooth. And I would give this a really good two thumbs up. I like this wine. I really, really like this wine. And I would probably buy another bottle of it. $9.99 is what I paid for it at Total Wine. Not Total Wine. Excuse me. Sorry, Matthew. I paid for it at winestore-online.com. The wine store. This is in North Carolina. And they have several locations. The one I usually go to is the one in Blakeney. They have one in Raleigh. They have a couple more. I think they have one in South Park. And I think they have one more. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But they had these here, but it was not on their website. It was originally on their website, but for some reason, when I went back to check later, it was gone. So I don't know what happened there. Winestore-online.com. Momentum Solari. 2020, a wine from France. This is a French wine, and it's pretty good. I like it. So I think for the final review, it actually went pretty well with everything on the plate except one item. And I said I was going to revisit this a little bit. But by the way, look at this nice presentation that my lovely wife Chi did with the show. It was really nice. I think I messed it up a bit, but it was originally nicer than it is. But that was with an apple and a piece of celery. There's a healthy garnish there. It went really well with the burger. It went great with the pizza. That's a Pizza Hut pizza. So if you're planning to do Pizza Hut, and you can get this wine with it, I think it'll go with it just fine. It went well with the cheddar, and it really made the cheddar pop. And the creamy Gouda, the Gouda cheese, it went pretty well with that, although I think the wine helped the Gouda more than the Gouda helped the wine. Interesting. This is a Wensleydale, but it's not just any Wensleydale. It has orange in it. It's a Wensleydale mimosa. So it has it sort of tastes like a mimosa a little bit, and has that citrusy kind of feel to it. But I'm not sure that I liked it with the wine because of that combination. Wensleydale by itself, maybe, I don't know, because I don't have a Wensleydale by itself here. This thing has hunks of orange in it. So I don't know that it really went well with the wine. Other than that, though, it was a real winner. I really liked the wine, and I will give that a two thumbs up and some applause. I think it went really, really well with all of that, all the rest of it. So that's my final review of the wine. I do recommend it, by the way. All right, so next week we're going into November, and we're going into the holidays, and I just want to remind everyone that the holidays, I've got some surprises going on. We're hoping to have another film or two here for the holidays. But one of the things we're going to do here during the holiday season, remember last year we did this game. We played this game with the advent calendar with the wine. They have a wine advent calendar. We're going to do that again this year. It's a guessing game, and everybody gets involved, and you could win surprises. So please get involved in that. Be there for that. That's going to be starting during the second half of December. And November, we're going to do a special Thanksgiving episode of Drink with Rick. It won't be a Saturday night because it's a Thursday night, of course. But we'll be doing a special one-hour Thanksgiving episode of Drink with Rick. And I hope you'll join me for that because we'll do some fun stuff there. We'll have a good time. Good time we'll have about all. So please join me for all that. We are coming into November now. This is the last weekend in October. The year has gone by so fast. Well, hasn't it? It's just gone by so fast. And Kane says hover car? A hover car. Yes, a hover car. You know, that's the other thing we don't... Yeah, and Back to the Future, when Michael J. Fox was riding on his hoverboard. We don't have hoverboards, so we got to have something that's sort of a semblance of that, but it's not a real hoverboard. It's not real. Doesn't really just hover. It's kind of, they call it kind of cover, call it a hoverboard, but it's not. A real hoverboard is hovering over, it's not even touching the, it's not touching the ground at all. We don't have the hoverboard yet, do we? Yeah, I know. Marty McFly, what happened to the hoverboard? Anyway, so that's the show for tonight. There is one more celebrity I'd like to bring out for tonight. You know who it is. I know who it is. We all know who it is. I'm going to bring him out right now, and he is none other than Roadkill Bill. It's Roadkill Bill. You're on this camera, Bill. Okay, all right. Bill's message is a simple one. Bill says, don't drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever you are. Do not drink and drive. It's very dangerous. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call Lyft, call a friend, call a cab, or just stay put. It's better to just stay put. Don't endanger yourself or others. Don't text and drive either. That's also very dangerous. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for joining me here on the show tonight. I want to thank my good friend Ed for being here and everyone who was watching but was not actually in the chat. I know some of you were. Also, Kane, thank you for being here and hanging out with the chat. I'm glad you enjoyed the film. I believe you enjoyed the film, right? I hope you did. Brew243, thanks for being here. Tom Antio and everyone else who joined me on Twitch and also on Odyssey. You joined Bill and me on Odyssey. And I know I'm holding Bill from the bottom. Probably, he's roadkill. He's not going to do anything on my hand. Are you, Bill? I hope not. Getting squirrely on me again. Okay, there you go. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here with us tonight. And I say these things, and Bill's here as the official mascot for drinkwithrick.com because the message is clear, and the reason I give this message every week is because I care about you. I care about each and every one of you. I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.